The following is a message from the pulpit of the Fellowship Baptist Church of Wytheville, Virginia. It is our prayer that the Lord speaks to your heart as we gather together around His Word.
Okay, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 in the Word of God this morning. We're going to come into Jesus and the disciples' ministry going on here in Mark chapter 6. Jesus has just raised a young girl from the dead in Mark chapter 5 there. And then it says, Mark chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should not take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning again, and Lord, we do want to thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, this is another day that we've come to worship you and praise you. And God, I pray, Lord, that this morning that you would speak to each heart. You know each individual that's here. And God, you know the things going on in each of our lives, and you know exactly what we need this morning. Lord, as we were, our hearts were touched in Sunday school class about burdens and things going on in people's lives. And God, we think about that right now. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would comfort. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring help and healing. And God, those that are here that's burdened because they've lost loved ones recently, and God, I pray that you bring comfort there and help. But Lord, I pray that this service, God, that you would just bless it. Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. We'll not have a service here without you. We're dependent on you today, Lord, for this service. So, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and I pray that you would bless, and I pray that you'd have your will and way, and we'll give you the credit and the glory for everything that's accomplished. For we pray in Jesus' name. In this part of the scripture here, it says that Jesus went to his own country there, his own area where he came from, and it said that he set out to do the teaching and the preaching like he did everywhere else, and you know, the healing and to do the mighty works that he had done in other locations. And it said that these people there that knew him as he grew up, and says, "Not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James," and talks about his family there. And says, you know, they were offended at him. And it was a sad part right here. It says, and Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." And it said, he could there do no mighty works, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and they healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. You know, Jesus here, he was ready to do. Had the power to do. Wanted to do. But he was hindered because of these people and their unbelief. And you know, we need to mark that down in our life. He's ready to do. He's willing to do. He's able to do. But a lot of times, our unbelief will hinder him from doing what he wants to do. And that jumped out at me. And we need to remember that. Unbelief will hinder the Lord. And it says in verse number 7 that he called to him the 12, and he began to send them forth two and two. Send them forth out of the midst. See, Jesus was, during this whole part of the scripture here and before, he was teaching his disciples. See, one day Jesus knew he was going to be gone. And he was going to leave the ministry with the disciples. He was training them. They were kind of in boot camp. He was teaching them. And he sent them away two by two and told them to go. And he gave them power over unclean spirits and power to heal. And he told them there in verse number 8, he commanded them, he said, that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only and no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals and not even have two coats. He was teaching. He's teaching them when he sent them out, he was going to be able to provide and take care of them wherever they went or whatever situation they was in. See, he was teaching them. And so they did that. They went out. And it says they went out in verse number 12. They went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils. And in verse number 12 and 13 I'm reading here. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And then it gives a portion of scripture here that talks about John the Baptist right here. And, you know, I kind of wondered why this was here, and maybe it was because, you know, this was happening at the time, you know, this was happening, and they just kind of put that in here, you know, at this time. But anyway, it tells the account of John the Baptist. And see, these wonderful works that Jesus was doing around the area and around the countryside and everything, it fell upon Herod's ears. And it says in verse number 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. See, John had been imprisoned by Herod for telling the truth. And you say, well, you know, wonder why all this is right here. Well, I told you he was teaching the disciples. They was going to go into a world like this. Dangerous. They was going to have to face some things. And he was getting them ready for all this, see. And it says here that Herod, you know, he had imprisoned John the Baptist for telling the truth, really. You know, Herod took his brother Philip's wife and married her. And he just confronted him with it. You know, he told him that was wrong. It said, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, verse number 17, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, whom he married, he had married her. And John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. I mean, he just told the truth. And you're going to be followers of Christ. They're going to be persecuted for telling the truth. Because people don't like to hear the truth. Because they don't want to be accountable to the truth. So the truth hurts. But see, for a Christian, the truth sets us free. But anyway, so to make a long story short, Herod had a birthday, and there was a party thrown for him. And Herodias had this daughter. I don't know if she's a teenage girl or not. But anyway, she got out there, and she danced before Herod. And I think it was a seductive, lustful dance, you know, and it pleased him very much, the Bible said right here. It says, and when the daughter said, Herodias, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, in verse number 22, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she didn't bat an eye. This old hussy Herodias. Oh, did I say that? Excuse me. This Herodias, she already had it made up in her mind. She didn't even bat an eye. She didn't even slow down. I don't even think she let her daughter get these words out of her mouth. "What shall I ask?" She said, "The head of John the Baptist." See, it says down there, verse number 19, "Therefore Herodias," for what John had said, "named their sin, had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not." So this was her chance. So it said right there that she went back and said, and she went forth and said to her mother, and her mother said, "The head of John the Baptist," and she came in straightway in haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded that his head be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. See, it's a kind of dangerous thing sometimes to be a Christian. We're living in the world today that's kind of dangerous being a Christian. You know what I'm saying? All over the world, they're killing Christians. You know, they're bombing different places. And Becky came up with a book, and this book was talking about that very thing, you know, about the bombings and about Christian persecution and things like that. But you know what the date was on that book? 1954, 2 years after I was born. I'm 65. Still going on, and it's going to go on. Christians are going to be persecuted. If you know anything about what it says in the end of the book, you know what it's going to be. Christians being persecuted. But anyway, after this, it says in verse number 30 in chapter number 6, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him." Verse 34, and says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." So they were tired, they were wore out, they were hungry probably. They hadn't had, as you said right there, they hadn't had a place to even take a break. No leisure time. So Jesus told them to get in this ship and go to the other side there. And I don't know if it's just cutting across the corner there, the Sea of Galilee or whatever. But the people saw them leaving and saw which direction they were going in. And they just went around through the towns and villages and everything. Said, "They're coming out right over here." So by the time they got there, there was a multitude of people. And it says, when Jesus came out, said he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and began right then, tired or not, weary or not, hungry or not, began right then. And it said that he had compassion toward them and began to teach them many things because they were sheep, not like a sheep not having a shepherd. See, I'm trying to tell you here, Jesus is teaching his disciples. Going to be hard, dangerous. You're going to get tired. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyway, and it says, and when the day was far spent, verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Remember, he's teaching disciples. The disciples here, you know, they was probably tired. They was wore out, you know, and they said, oh, it's getting late. Said, Lord, you need to send them away. Just send them away. That's what he said. They said, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, and for they have nothing to eat. And he said to them, he said, give ye them to eat. See, he's teaching them. He's wanting them to see. He's wanting to see that the power they have at their fingertips, you know. And they're going to remember all this later on. But, you know, as Jesus is wanting them to see, this word was not just for them. It's for me and you down through the ages. It's for all of us. Anybody that serves God, we need to take example from this. And the things that they were faced with. Because we're going to be faced with the same things. And I know some of you that's in ministry, sometimes you get tired, sometimes you get weary, and sometimes you look around and say, well, is there nobody here to help me? You know, if I got to do this myself? You ever like that? But that's the way it is. Sometimes it's hard. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But anyway, he said, give ye them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all to sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. A lesson Jesus is teaching them here. Mighty power of God. They were following the Savior. He had all this power. He had all this might, and he was using them to do it. You know, over there it said, and the disciples follow him. And it says the disciples went 2 by 2, and they... He gave them power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal people. They did that. Now he's having them to serve all this multitude of people, and they had it in their hands, and they got to see this come about in their hands. And it's hard to tell what we can see come about in our hands if we would just get to the place that they were in. But here's what I want you to see. Verse 45, and says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. After this great miracle of feeding this 5,000 men, not counting women and children, get into a ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. What I want you to look at here, right here, and this is this little phrase, and would have passed by them. And would have passed by them. They get the picture here. He's fed he's met all the needs of these people. He's fed them. He told the disciples, okay, I want you to get in the ship and I want you to go to the other side unto Bethsaida. And he said, I'll send away the people. And it says he went into a mountain to pray. And while he was up there praying, they were in the midst of the sea. And this storm came up. And it was no small storm either, because, you know, it said Matthew about this same account here, said they were in the midst of the sea tossed with waves. And in John it says the sea arose up by a great wind. And they rowed. They were rowing, trying to save themselves. And it said they rowed so many furlongs. I don't know how much really a furlong is. I've heard it in horse racing. Now, I don't bet on horses now. Don't don't go out here saying I'll do that, but that's the way a horse track is measured in furlongs. But it give an amount of furlongs here, and I got this little thing in my Bible. It said it was about 3 or 4 miles. So here they were out there rowing and toiling and rowing, trying to save themselves. And they had been rowing for 3 or 4 miles. Now, that's a long ways. In the midst of a storm a tossed sea. Probably some of them was bailing the water out, you know, as the water came in. Others were rowing. They was trying to save themselves. They was having a hard time. And it said that Jesus was in the mountain, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of night, he cometh to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. I don't know what your situation is. I know some of your situation. But I want you to know, Jesus sits high. He looks low. He sees you sitting there in your bedroom or your living room and your head buried in your hands because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the next step is. You don't know what's going to happen to your loved one that you're so concerned about. You don't know. He's sitting there high. He's looking low. And he said he saw them toiling and rowing. Toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary to them. And this world is contrary to us, folks. God loves us. This world is contrary to us. This world is against us. We have enemies in this world. Satan, ourself, and sin. We have enemies. And we got to deal with these things. And it's contrary to us. But see, Jesus, just like Randall alluded to there in Sunday school, Jesus came to them in a miraculous way, walking on the sea. And he'll come to you where you are in a miraculous way. He'll get to you. He sees where you're at. He knows how you feel. He's concerned about it. He has compassion. He's our example of compassion for those in need. When somebody asks you to pray, please, please, please pray. You know, I've had things going in my life, and I'm sure you have too. And somebody say, I'm praying for you. You don't know what that means. That means so much. But Jesus come to him. He was concerned about what was going on with him, and he came to him walking on the sea in a miraculous way. He's come to us in a miraculous way. Just like Randall said this morning, his virgin birth was miraculous. He came to this world in a miraculous way. He lived a sinless life. That's a miracle. Has any of you lived a sinless life? He lived a sinless life. The Bible says he that knew no sin, no sin, no sin at all, became sin for us. You think of the most hideous, the most filthy, the most nasty sin that's ever committed. He became that for us, for them. And willingly did so. A miracle. It was a miracle in his death there on the cross. Him making it to the Calvary's hill was a miracle after all he had been through and the blood that he lost. Hey, and his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, a miracle. He came to us with miracles just like he came to them miraculously walking on the sea. But I want you to see that little phrase right there, and would have passed by them. What does that mean? I think it means just what it says. He would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. He came to where they were. He was willing to meet their need. He was able to meet their need. But it says he would have passed by them. And it says in chapter 40, in verse number 49, but they saw him walking on the sea and cried out. So, you think about it today. I don't know your condition. I don't know your soul's condition. But he'll come to you where you are, ready to meet your need, loves you, has compassion on you, cares for you, died for you. He'll come to where you are, just like this morning. He'll come to where you are But he'll pass by you if you don't cry out. That's the way things are set up. He will not force you. He will not make you accept him as Savior. He'll deal with you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. But he will not force you. He'll make himself available. That's what he did here. They were in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing. They were in a dangerous, perilous condition, situation here. And listen, if you're here and you're lost, you're in a dangerous, perilous condition. You're one heartbeat from hell. You're not promised another day. He said, our life's as a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What are you going to be doing tomorrow this time? You don't know and I don't know. But we say, oh, I'll have another chance. He's passing by. But what if he's passing by for the last time? I can remember times the Lord spoke to my heart growing up. You know what he was doing? He was passing by. But I didn't call out to him in those times. But I praised God. Thank you, God. That one day I got sense enough to call out. And what did it say here? They cried out. And it says, for they saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. And said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Listen, he'll save you. You're in a dangerous situation. You're in trouble. That's the reason, you know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish. Perish. You know that word perish? That's talking about going to hell. But he sent his Son that you may not perish. But what? Have everlasting life if you just trust Jesus. He's making himself available. He's passing by your way. This might be the last time. It's serious. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to get saved. And listen, he'll immediately talk to you and he'll help you straighten out things. You know what Satan will do? He'll jump up on your shoulder and he'll say, well, you need to do this first and you need to do that first. And he'll let you believe and realize that you need to be saved, but he'll say, not today, not today, not today. Until it's too late. That's his business. Salvation. He's passing by. And friend, I want you to know he's passing by in service too. All this portion of scripture was about service. Teaching his disciples to serve. Showing them what they was going to have to come up against. Showing them the power that they had at their fingertips if they just follow him. And trust him. He would provide for them. Told them not to take no money. Told them not to take no extra clothes. Told them not to worry about where they was going to stay. Listen, he's passing by us. He passes by us about service too. You know that? Has the Lord ever dealt with you and spoke to your heart about service? Asked you to do something or impressed you to do something? That's him. He's right there. He comes by. He comes by. He makes himself available. And he prompts you to do something. And he makes himself available. I'm right here. I'm going to help you. I'll help you do this. You know, you don't have to do this on your own. You know what I did the other day when the preacher asked me to do this? What I'm doing right now. I'd start to say preaching. I don't know if you call it preaching or not. But anyway, you know what I did? First thing in my mind, I started making excuses. Why is that? You ever do that? You try to get out of something, you know. But that's the way we are. You know why? Because serving God is not easy. It's hard. It's work to it. it's time consuming, like what we had in this portion of scripture here. It's time consuming. You get weary. You get tired. You might get hungry. Your schedule's all messed up. And you, service. That's the reason he calls us soldiers of the cross, not sissies of the cross. It's work. It's hard. Why did he pick these old rough fishermen for? Because he knew they could stand the test. He knew they had what it was inside to go on and do it. And most of them died a martyr's death with their eyes wide open, seeing what they was going to have to face. He showed it to them. And they hung right in there. And they did what they did, and that's why we're in this church this morning. Because they spread the gospel throughout the world. They did what they was taught to do. They served when they were called on. I'm ashamed of myself. But I tell you what, it makes you think when you start losing stuff. You know, Randall was talking about getting sick and to kind of get your attention and things like that. I remember December before last, I got to where I couldn't even walk. I couldn't even get up and walk. Becky would have to pull me up off the couch when I got about to use the bathroom. She'd have to pull me up off the couch and help me to the bathroom. And it felt like she was tying my arms off when she was trying to pull me up. And I got to a place, I said, like, I felt like I was never going to get better. Things happen fast, don't they? This storm right here, it happened real fast. Jesus sent them out there. He sent away the crowd. He went up into a mountain to pray. And all of a sudden, this storm came up, and they were in a situation. Things come up fast. Remember that if you're here lost, things can happen fast. Hey, we heard about a death just this past week, a tragic death. I mean, unforeseen, I mean, just boom, 42 years old, gone. Things happen fast. Service. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, I got to where I couldn't even talk because I'd cough. I couldn't breathe right. And things like that, I couldn't sing. You know, bless your heart. A lot of you said, I'm praying for you. I'd love to see you back in the choir and things like that. And I wanted to. But see, things can happen. And I said, Lord, please. In the wake at night, I'd have these night sweats. I'd wake up in a pool of water. And I just couldn't sleep. Makes you do a lot of thinking when you're in the middle of the dark and can't sleep. Things going on in your body that you can't explain. Hit you real fast. And you wonder if you're ever going to be able to do anything else again. And you start crying out. He's passing by. You don't know what those night times. I could just feel him like he was right there in the room. Passing by. Making himself available, ready to help me what situation I was in. But it took me to call out. I had to cry out. Remember, cry out. Cry out. Satan will say, shut up. Cry out. Christ says, cry out. I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm compassionate. I love you. I'll help you. And when you cry out, you'll get a voice back. Immediately he talked with them. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He can handle any situation going on with you. He loves you. We cannot understand how much he loves us. We cannot fathom how much he loves with us. But service. We got to go against sin. We got to go against Satan. We got to go against self. It's going to be hard. Self, we got to keep our testimony. Our lifestyle. We've got to keep ourselves right. You know, our speech. Our speech, we've got to keep our speech right. You know, that's where I falter there a lot of times. And you know what? Things will happen at work. Down there at the jail, I went in the kitchen last week and I thought I was going to bust a blood vessel. Them inmates, they'll tear that jail all to pieces and don't care. I guess they think you're getting back at somebody. But that's it. That's it. But you know, those inmates, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I gotta remind myself, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right there. We're all one decision away from being there. See? And you know, I've come down to the fact I owe them respect and a gospel witness. I don't care where they come from. I don't care how many tattoos they got. I don't care how many old holes in their ears. I don't care how many holes in their eyebrows, how many holes is in their nose, in their lips, and everywhere else. I owe them respect and a gospel witness. But I could choke her gizzard out sometime. And that's what happened to me last week. But I get so mad. I just had to walk out of there. I told Jason, I said, I just had to leave her. I just had to walk out. I couldn't stand it. But you know what I do sometime? I'll come home and I'll blast Becky. You ever do that? Somebody you love the most. Somebody that loves you the most. Seems like you thunder out at them. You know, you done built it up all day. I mean, it's just like a keg of TNT, and all of a sudden your fuses are lit when you get home. Shame on me. But our speech. You know, when you're tired, that's what happens. You know, I wonder why the disciples here, after they had seen Jesus raise the dead, after he had given them power to heal the sick and cast out demons and everything like that, and after these people were in such a shape and needed help and that Jesus had compassion on them, and the disciples said, well, we're tired, we're weary, send them away. Their speech, we have that attitude sometimes, just send them away, get them out of my face when we're able to help them. Service. Speech, so much hinders us. Over there when Jesus came to his own town there, willing to lay it on them, I mean, all kind of wonderful works, and their speech, they was offended at him. Who is he? He's a carpenter. We know his family. We know his sisters and brothers. He wasn't able to do anything because of their unbelief. When it could have been the flip side. See, he marveled at their unbelief. And over in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10, he marveled at this other man's belief because he came to him beseeching him and said, my daughter my servant is sick. And while Jesus was getting ready to come, he got word that he'd already died. And Jesus said, I'll come. And he said, listen, he said, I'm not even worthy of you to come to my house. All you got to do is say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. You just speak the word. And Jesus marveled at his faith, his belief. So see, we got unbelief that hinders God, and we got belief and faith that God works in, see. God healed that servant. But we choose, see, which one we're going to act on, belief or unbelief. See, that's salvation. You're either going to believe, are you going to not believe? He said that he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Belief. Service. We're either going to believe that God's going to use us or we're not. But sin, self, Satan is going to be there to attack us and stop us. But anyway, another thing I want you to see, and a lot going on in this church, suffering, sickness. There's a lot of families in this church sick and suffering. But I want you to see, I want you to take comfort here that it says in this portion of Scripture
that Jesus sent these disciples out to heal and cast out devils and said they anointed people and they were healed from their infirmities. And Jesus touched people and healed them. And it says right here over in the last part of this verse, chapter number 6, and said, when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Excuse me. They knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. Sick, suffering. These people right here, they might have been uneducated, a bunch of peasants, a bunch of poor people, most of them. But buddy, when they knew Jesus was around, see, he was passing by. They knew he was going to be passing by. They went and got everybody they could round up that was sick, that had a runny nose, whatever's going on. They said, hey, let's get him out there in the street. He's going to be passing by this way, and he's able to heal. He's willing to heal. He's able to help. Don't let unbelief, lack of faith, hinder his doing that in your life. Like Randall said this morning, you know, he's talking about 6 months. Going to have another test. I tell you, I'll be surprised if we're here 6 months, the way things is going. But if we are, he's still in the same hands right now as he is right now. Then he'll be in the same hands, God's hands. God's passing by. I'll go with you. I'm going with you to the doctor's office, Randall. Randall calls out and says, Lord, I know I can't do nothing about this, but you sure can. And I love you, and I thank you for going through all this with me. And others. I'm just using Randall because about the Sunday school lesson this morning. There's others in the same situation, got dire needs, suffering, sickness. But listen, he's right there with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you right even unto the end of the world. He said, I'm here. Call out. Cry out. See, it says there, they saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And it says, he went up unto them into the ship. See, if you call out to him, he'll comfort you. He'll say, don't be afraid. I can handle this. We're going to go through this together. Don't be afraid. I'm here. He said, I'm going to come up and I'm going to get into your ship. That's into your vessel, see? He wants to board up with you and be right there with you through the whole nine yards, okay? Sounds pretty good to me. Whatever comes, whatever happens. Ain't it a lot better just to go ahead and just, what did he say? Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. But we'll throw some of it over there, but we'll keep some of it, you know. Just pace the floor. Worry. What does he say? Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. This is God. The God-man. Our Savior. The Creator. Created our bodies. It is I. Be not afraid, I'm able to help you. He said, and he went up unto them, into the ship. Look what can happen. And the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. He can stop that wind from blowing in your life. He can stop those waves from churning in your life. He's passing by. But the sad thing about it is, a lot of times he passes by, makes himself available, and just passes on. I got it. I can handle this. I've not got to that point yet. Be better off just to go ahead. Just go ahead. Cry out. Say, Lord, I need you. Because it can always get worse. If you're here and you're lost, remember, he's passing by for salvation. He's ready and willing to save your soul. Satan is ready and willing to damn your soul. He's come. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The evil one's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the coin you're flipping. How many more opportunities are you going to have? Service. And listen, when the Lord, I had to see myself. You know, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I capable of doing? The Bible says, too much is given, much is going to be required. We need to ask ourselves that question. It's because disciples, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said, that's why we're here. What if everybody just quits? What if everybody just looks to the other person to serve? What's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our grandchildren? And if the Lord tarries, what's going to happen to Christendom? Service. He's coming by. He's going to give you opportunity. He's going to come to where you're at, and he's going to give you opportunity. And then really, he's going to be there. He's going to say, I'm going to help you. Don't you worry about your shoes and your coats and your purse and all this stuff, you know. Becky, don't worry about your purse. Hey, he's going to be right there with you. He said, I'm passing by. Hey, don't worry about what you're going to say. You open your mouth, I'll feel it. I've witnessed that before. I didn't know what to say in some situations. But it seemed like I just opened my mouth. It came out, it sounded pretty good. And it wasn't me, it was him. See, he'll do it. He just wants a willing vessel. Somebody that strives to keep their testimony clean. See, he'll not use a dirty vessel. You know, you're not going to be perfect. I don't know anybody. I've never met a perfect person other than Jesus. And we won't. But that perfect one, that powerful one, that one who's always present, he's going to be right there with you, helping you serve. And if you're sick and suffering, remember, just humble yourself. Call out to God. Admit everything that you're thinking, the way you're feeling, because he already knows. Remember those on the way to Emmaus, you know? They started saying, don't you know about the things that Jesus joined up to them? They didn't know who he was. He said, don't you know about what's happened here in these days? And then he says, what things? He knew he was the one hung on the cross. But he still wanted them to open up and tell him. Tell him exactly how you feel. And then say, God, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, I'm dependent on you. I'm leaving it with you. You love me. See if he don't calm your storm. Let's pray.